There is a little bit of a difference. One, I'm not going to blow my whistle and make you do push-ups if you're not listening to me, like I have done numerous times over the last 30-some-odd years. But when you come up here, it's more important than teaching a kid how to shoot a basketball. It's more important than teaching them how to get along with a neighbor. You're handling God's Word, and all of a sudden it becomes very, very, very significant. At least it does to me. And so I appreciate the chance to come and do this. It's exciting for me. Any time that I have the opportunity to do this, I learn more than you ever will learn. And some of you out there, I mean, Bill's over there, he's not going to learn anything. I know that. Anyway, he's shut me off already. He's going, how did he know that? Did he look at my face? Or what was it? But, you know, it is interesting because when you get an opportunity, I go, okay, well, it's summertime. A lot of people busy in the summertime, so there'll be less people to make a judgment upon me. Okay, and then I go, well, then the pastor's gone. So then, you know, human nature is, oh, the pastor's gone. He won't know that I'm not gone, so I think I'll clean my trash out this morning. Okay? And they don't show up. And then, you know, you just, you know, summertime, this is the last week before activities and sports and school start up again, so people are, you know, doing things like that. And I go, I get that. I can handle all of those things. But the final straw this morning was this. Jerry is sitting like eight rows back. So I know he's not going to hear one word I say the entire time today. So that hurt me. That hurt me. Because normally he sits right up here to hear, you know, every once in a while. But now he's just totally decided to go. I don't care what you think. I'm sitting back here. Just don't let me know. But it's not quite that way. But I do deem it an honor, a privilege to bring some thoughts I have to you today. And so before we get into that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon my words for the next few minutes. We pray that you would take them and touch us in a way that we need to be touched. And your word reigns supreme in our hearts. And so we thank you for being able to come here, be able to listen to your word. And we thank you and praise you in your name. Amen. Okay, well, I put the title today of this. And it's called How to Be Happy in 5 Easy Steps. Okay. Now, I just have a feeling that a couple of you are going, oh, good, a self-help book in real life. Okay. And you've already on your back of your bulletin, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You can erase that. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to say. Okay. We're going to talk about happiness. We're going to talk about some of those things. But I'm going to go about it in maybe a different way. Okay. We are going to be in the book of Psalms, almost entirely talking about verse 1. We're not really going to go into a lot of the other verses. I had Dave read all of those, and we will again. But I started to think about this, about Psalms 1, because it's always been a good psalm. In fact, it's the gateway to the other 149 psalms that we have. It kind of sets the tone of, if for lack of a better term, you're either in or you're out. There is no gray area. Over my life, I have been accused many, many times of, why don't you just budge a little bit? There's no middle ground with you. Yes, that's exactly right. Okay, I don't have a lot of gray areas in my life. Okay, and if I find out that I have gray areas, I try to get rid of them. Because you're either in or out. And that's basically what Psalms is talking about. But hopefully there's a method to my madness as we talk about this. But as I mentioned, 5 steps to happiness, let's talk about happiness. And we've all done this before. We all know every time we discuss things, we talk about, well, what makes you happy? Well, of course, if soon as I get that dream job, that's going to be it for me, right? As soon as I get that dream car, the car I wanted, okay, that's it. As soon as I get that degree that I need, that master's or doctorate degree or undergrad degree or two-year degree or whatever it is, then that's going to be it for me. As soon as my favorite sports teams wins their championship, that's going to be happy. Okay, I'm a Denver Bronco fan. I've been mad more times than I've been happy over the last 50 years that I've been kind of watching them. Okay, if you're looking for that, you know, check the Chicago Cubs. There were people that were born, lived in Chicago their whole life, and died and didn't see the world championship that they had, what was that, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. So if you're looking for sports teams or parts of clubs or those type of things, it's probably not gonna make it. Okay, if you have a situation where you are at you're on the internet, you're on social media, okay, and if I just get the right contacts or the number of likes, I look at that, you know, the thumbs, you know what I'm talking about? Like or dislike? Is everybody with me or just, am I the only one that notices the thumbs that say like or dislike? I look and I go, God, there's a lot of people that like that. Then I go, there's a couple of morons that didn't like that. Well, I liked it. You know, I mean, that's the way I look at it. But if you look at that and you go, well, if I'm just popular on social media, if I can find something that people would like me, and then I could become like famous. Okay, this is not a diatribe against social media. But when I look at social media or I look at anything advertising-wise or anything like that, first of all, I realize I don't make as much money as everybody else does. I'm not as pretty as everybody else is. I'm surely not as young as everybody else is. I'm sure they don't have a lot of ideas. So as I look at that part of it, I go, if I'm looking for help there, if I'm looking for to be happy with my, you know, my Twitter account or my following on Snapchat or whatever, you know, I will say Twitter, I'll say Facebook, and then the kids that I used to teach would say, nobody does that anymore. Well, what's the new one? And then they tell me one that I never heard of before, and I go, okay. Knowing that within 6 months, that'll be gone and something else will be in its place. Okay? But, so, when you look at all those things, we spend, and I think we all know this, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already realize. We're looking all the time for something that's going to be the thing for us. That's going to calm us down, that's going to make us happy, that's going to make us say, hey, this is really good. Okay? So much so that we bought a bill of goods sometimes that I don't think is really true. I have a quote from a guy named David Brooks. He's a writer for the New York Times. And about 3 or 4 years ago, he wrote this article talking about the miseducation or the mismanagement of today's college or university graduates. And we're talking about, I don't even know what the term is, millennials are not 20s anymore. They're 30s now, right? Millennials? Okay. My daughter would know that. What's a 20? What a, other than the word naive or stupid or what are the 20? The 20-somethings or whatever, you know, the people that are just right out of school. He writes this. People in their 20s seem compelled to bounce around, popping up here and there, quantum-like, with different jobs, living arrangements, and partners, while hoping that all these diverse experiences magically add up to something. Their lives are rife with uncertainty and anxiety, and all the while, social media makes the comparison game more intrusive than ever, and near everybody feels they are falling behind. How do we, as a society, prepare young people for this uncertain phase? We pump them full of vapid but haunting praise about how talented they are, and about how their future is limitless, which is, of course, bogus. Then we preach a gospel of autonomy that says all the answers and the deeper questions of life are found in getting in touch with your true self, whatever the heck that is. Unquote. We look at that and we say, is that a 21st century phenomenon? Okay, are we always looking for something because that didn't do it for me. That didn't do it for me. That didn't do it for me. Okay? In the 4th century, Augustine wrote this: Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. So it's not a new phenomenon. You know, Jerry, I think he went to school with Augustine in the 4th century. I can say anything I want because he can't hear me, so everything is good, right? He's going, you know, yes, I can hear. I'm in trouble. But anyway, so I say all that to say this. We're going to look, of course, we're going to look at the Word to see what really does make a difference. And we're going to do it in a backward sort of a way, I think. But again, in your Bibles, let's look at Psalm chapter 1. We'll read it again, but we're going to spend most of our time located or talking about verse 1. Psalm says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgments, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So, in verse 1, it says, we're going to look at that pretty much, and it says, blessed is the man, okay? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. So let's take a look at that. It says blessed, okay? Blessed is the man. So what do we know about bliss? I looked up in the dictionary, okay? The term blessed or blessed, and it basically means full of bliss, bringing pleasure or contentment. Okay? And that sounds really good, doesn't it? That sounds like a book that would be a self-help book. But let's take a look at what the rest of some psalms talk about the word blessed and see if we can get a fuller meaning of that particular word. It's always better to look at the usage of the word in Scripture. It kind of helps us to see what that is. And the word blessed or blessed is used 26 times in the book of Psalms. So please turn in your Bibles and let's take a look at a couple of those. Psalms 32, 1 and 2. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. So we're looking basically at what is the word blessed. Psalm 32, 1 through 2 says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. So what is it saying here? It says that in essence, being blessed means that we've got it pretty good, because the God of heaven and earth is not holding. If we have agreed with Him that He's the one in charge, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, then He holds nothing against us. Nothing. No. Nothing. And so Martin Luther said, you know, it's a state of heart which makes you do backflips and stand on your head for joy if you can believe all your sins are forgiven. Okay? I don't know about you, but I'd have to be awful pretty happy to do a backflip because I may not, at least at my age. Okay? But do you understand that word that blessed is like, it's not like, hey, this is really good. Hey, I'm happy that my team won. Hey, I'm happy that I got that new job. I can't contain myself because I'm blessed by God. I am so happy. I look around because do we not say this? Do we not say, you know, if I got what I deserve, I'd be a little piece of toast on the ground. Okay, we say that all the time, or a version of that. And that's where we find ourselves. But the psalmist is saying, I'm doing backflips and headstands because I cannot believe that I got in because I don't deserve it. I'm feeling, I'm walking on air, as they say. Okay. Turn a little bit further in that Psalm 34. 34, verse 8. 34, verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. If I was to say to you, what is a tasty morsel? What is something that you sit down and you went, boy, it can't get much better than that. Okay, food-wise. Everybody in here is going, yeah, right? It's pretty easy. Chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes and gravy, pumpkin pie for dessert. Bang. I would probably, somebody wanted someone killed, I would probably do that for that meal. Okay? I'm kidding. This is not on today. So they can't X me out from the internet. Okay? But do we have that in our mind? Something that we go, man, that's just a delicacy. It's succulent. It is so good. Okay? It's so good. What's the most beautiful sight you can imagine? Think of that. Whatever it may be. My wife was sitting here, she would tell you. A mountain. A large mountain in the Rockies. That is a majestic picture. The most beautiful sight. For me, it's a little more earthy. It's sprinklers on a freshly mown football field. Don't ask me to explain it. I don't know. It's the thing you look at and, oh, because it makes you think of your youth and the things that you like and you know, the coming up where you have still, you know, you haven't lost any yet. And it's all that kind of stuff. But everybody, it's different for everybody. It's different for everybody. They would look and they would say, I'm overcome by what I see. Whatever it is. Okay? And then a refuge. Okay? It also talks about blessed man as a refuge is the Lord. What is a refuge? Something that keeps you from getting in trouble. Right? Something that is hidden you and keeps you. No matter how much you want to get yourself in trouble, it won't let you. You are safe. Okay? So, as we're building this picture of what a blessed person looks like, blessed by God, it's a pretty special thing. It's the greatest thing you've ever eaten, the greatest thing you've ever seen. Knowing that your sins are forgiven, no matter how rotten you are. It's looking and saying, I'm safe against the storm. Okay? The last one. I lied. The last one. There's two more. Psalm 65. Let's look at Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 4. It says, Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and the holiness of your temple. Okay? We're satisfied with what God has given us. The holiness of His temple. The place that He provides for us. Our church that we come to. Okay? He has provided stuff that we don't, if we had it to set for us to do, we couldn't do a very good job of replicating that. Okay? So, we're satisfied. Man. Okay? Satisfaction looks like this for me today. Tomorrow, for the first time in 58 years, when little bodies, otherwise known as teachers, go back to their meetings tomorrow morning, I'm going fishing in the bighorns. That is satisfaction. Okay? Satisfaction for that particular moment, right? So it's I'm going to call several of my colleagues tonight and wish them luck tomorrow morning. They know me. So one more Psalm 89, verse 15. Psalm 89:15.
says, "Blessed are people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face."
Blessed is a person that shouts for joy at the top of their lungs. God loves me. You know, the cheerleader, being a cheerleader and saying, "Let's go. This is exciting." So if you look at those, if you look at these things here, what are we looking at? Being blessed looks like this. Being sold out for God. Like a beautiful meal. Like a beautiful sunset. Like a wonderful thing. Like a refuge we can't. Like, I can't think of anything better. That's what we're about. We're excited. Okay? In this world we live in now, in the last year, okay? Jack and I were talking about this yesterday morning. In this last year, we said, boy, we knew it was coming. But I think in the back of our minds, we hoped it wouldn't be in our lifetime. Well, we were wrong. It's here in our lifetime. If anything is the last year and a half has taught us, is if we're going to live a blessed life, okay, we need to start putting our stock in things that count and not what the CDC says to me on the news at night, or maybe a governor or a senator or a person in a position of power. Okay, because you know what? Here's a news flash for you. That might not be true. What they tell you may not be the truth. You know, I'm sorry to break it to you that way, but it might not be true. Okay, so to be blessed is to be sold out, to be yelling at the top of your lungs, to be excited to the full for God and His Word and the truth, the only truth. But the last year and a half has taught me that, you know what? Maybe we need to go through this because maybe I need to get my attitude right. Maybe I need to depend on these things that I'm telling you right now. Maybe I need to be that cheerleader, more of a cheerleader than I am already. Okay? More of that satisfied person. Okay, with the only thing that can. So with that in the background, let's go back to verse 1 and look at a couple of I think things are interesting. Because now it says a person is blessed with all the stuff we just talked about. He's blessed because he does not do the following. Okay, so you see it's kind of going backwards a little bit. What are we not supposed to do? Okay, verse 1, all right. We're not supposed to walk in the counsel of the wicked. Okay. Second one is we're not supposed to stand in the way, sinners. And the third is we're not to sit in the seat of the scoffers. So if we look at those, there's three groups of words there that I want you to put together. One is the first word, okay, of each of the three lines. First one is walks, okay, then stands, then sits. Okay, the second three words are the counsel, the way, and the seat. And the third set of three words is wicked, sinners, and scoffers. And we want to try to talk about those three. You could almost circle them, okay, as a group. But we look at the first one and it comes up with an idea of a regression. Okay? Of what happens first and then goes second and goes third. Now, sometimes we hope that if we learn, if we make a mistake, we correct it and we go get better. And the third time we get even better. This is a warning to us that if we're blessed, we need to watch out for this. This is a warning for us. Okay? Walking. All right? If we can put it in just a normal term, you're walking along and you're just shooting the breeze with people and you're just like, you're free as a bird. And you start to see something that piques your interest. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. You're walking along. But what are you doing? You're walking, and then you see you're walking in the council, the advice. This advice, though, is not godly advice. It's, well, you know, hey, this is, we ought to do this or that, but it's not in accordance with God's Word. And you're in tune to it. You see it. And it says, you know, walking in the council of the wicked. Now, what is that? Wicked. This is wickedness that's not... It's the generic term of wickedness. It's, hey, my advice is don't put that on your taxes. Okay, you'll have to pay more taxes if you say that you got this money for doing this or that. Okay? Hey, don't tell them why you were... Don't tell them you were... That you were gone on vacation and took your vacation days and used them as sick days. Okay, when you weren't really sick. Don't worry about that. It's an entry level. Okay, if that makes any sense. Walking in the counsel of the wicked. You're seeing these things, you're hearing these things, and you're going, I don't know. Okay? Now, it can be many other things. I put the taxes thing down, I put lying, but it could be things that they're not so much big ticket items, if I could use that term. So we go to the next line. It says, or stands in the way, okay, of sinners. Stands now is that next step. You're not just walking by going, no, that looks interesting. I don't know. Now you've taken a little bit longer look at it. Now you've stopped and you're saying, oh, what? No, that's... Can you explain to me a little bit more about what's going on here? How can I do this? How can I get around this? How can I? Right? But this time, it goes a little bit... You're showing more than just a passing interest. You're standing now. Now it's piqued you to a point where you're going, tell me more. The way, okay, in the way, is you're reaching a comfort level. You're going, oh, that doesn't seem too bad to me. But the third part is the part that it says sinners this time. What it means is wicked, you had generic wickedness. Now this is sinners, that's evil against God. Now you're standing and listening and you're going, oh, I see. Maybe this is, you know, I know God wants me to do this, but, okay, what are some, and I am not worried about being thought of as a troublemaker, but right now, you know, do we not, in our society, worry about whether we call a person a man or a woman, okay, and we get in trouble if we say, he did this when the he is really a she, or she's really a he? I'm already confused myself. Okay. Or we talk about is what the Bible say. We know what the Bible says about homosexuality. Do we not? We do. Okay. But now we have stopped and we're listening to people that are very persuasive saying, are you sure? We talked about it yesterday morning. Daryl talked about it last week. Okay. And many other times. Did God really say that? Okay. But now that's that next step. We are actively listening to the sinners. Well, I don't know. That sounds pretty plausible. So then we go to the next one, the last verse, or the last line. Okay? Or sits in the seat of scoffers. Sitting. Okay? We have fallen in with the advice. Okay? We are not just standing and or walking by going, drink. We're standing, look. Now we are seated at the table. Now we're in. We're saying, okay, what do I need to do? This sounds good. When I was young, they told me this was wrong in the Bible, but I'm not for sure. No, I don't think so. In fact, I'm pretty sure the Bible's wrong now about that. Okay? And you have a seat, okay? You've stopped and you're entrenched now. You are not, you're not passing by. You're not, now you're at the seat with the people that believe that. You have found your way into that place, and that's where you're at. Now you're seated at the table with the other people, and you're now saying the same things. And you have become a scoffer. You not only have a seat at the table, okay? You're not the influenced anymore. You now are the influencer. Now you are the one that's propagating that stuff that is wrong. Okay? So, it's a downward spiral, isn't it? We look at that and we say, walking, then standing, then sitting. Okay? We have lost our way. Okay? The blessed person is not this person. So you go before. Now, if I was to stop here, you go, gee, thanks a lot. That really makes me feel good. Okay? But like everything, there is more to it. Okay? There's more to it. If you are in that situation, if you find yourself, and I think if we were honest, we could all look at parts of our lives and go, I can see it. I was walking, then I was sitting, or standing, and now I'm sitting in something that I should not do. I know it's against God's word, you know, and that's where it's all personal, isn't it? Everybody is in their own, is fighting their own battles. But if I left it there, it wouldn't be any good. But let's go on and look to see why there is hope. Okay, turn back to Psalm 32, 1 and 2 again, if you would. We talked about that first. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. It says, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Guess what the Lord is doing for us? He is waking us up to the fact that we're sitting in the seat of scoffers. He's waking us up. He's saying, it doesn't have to be that way. Okay? Why? Why does it have to be that way? My transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. So if I find myself in that situation, I don't have to be there. God has given me a way out. Okay? If we look at, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. First Peter 2:24 says this. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So again, he's saying, if you find yourself there, if you're not living that blessed lifestyle, that blessedness, then what? Is it too late? It's never too late. Never. Okay? It's never too late. As long as you have a breath in your body, it's not too late. So it's saying here, we look at it, we go, I don't want the slide. I don't want to see that. Well, what do I do? Okay? God has given you the answer. Better look to somewhere that you can count on. Yeah? Oh, it must be me. Might be me. Okay? Last one, Titus 2:14. You would turn there. I always should put markers in my Bible because I go, oh, I know exactly where it's at. And then that's not true. Titus 2:14, which is a memory verse from church, says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Okay? What is a zealot? Anybody? And this is not a question and answer, but we know what a zealot is. Okay? Modern day sports term would be what? A fan, which is short for fanatic. Right? Okay? Zealous. Okay? Titus is telling us he redeems us to be what? God, I can take him or leave him. He redeems us to be what? Zealous for him and his good works. Okay? He's redeeming us. All we need to do is stop and go, what is the price? We know the price that's been paid. Have him, don't we? Okay? So I'd like to, this is probably the one thing you probably hang on the most. In closing, I would like to tell you this, okay? Not too long today, We know the old saying, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting what? Different results. Okay? So let us determine in our hearts today to seek the true peace and the happiness and fulfillment that only Almighty God can give. No longer the slow downward spiral, but locking in, being zealous, being a cheerleader, standing up and saying, you know what? We have the answer to the problems. No, we believe in it. We understand that. Okay? And we won't go that way. We won't go from walking to standing to sitting. Because we want to be blessed by living that life for God. So, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have read Your Word and to get it into our hearts and to know that the price that has been paid for us is so incredibly high, we can't understand it. But we accept it and we want to be a cheerleader for You, be zealous for Your works, be excited like a tasty meal, like a beautiful sunset, a beautiful picture, the things that make us most happy. And Lord, we thank You that You have given us Your Word, that we can read it and study it and use it to further Your kingdom. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.